Welcome to the Security Today podcast. I'm your host, Uncle Bear, and this podcast is brought to you by Sprinter Business Solutions. We're back with another The Room Where It Happens, which is our special segment where we bring in security industry leaders and we talk about where they've been, what they're seeing, and where they think the industry is going. And we had our first segment of this with Leo Dess, and I know that it went fantastic, so I couldn't stop. I had to keep bringing in some of the showstoppers, if you will, with Roger Schmidt here. And so I will let Roger introduce himself. But about a decade ago, when I got into security from the locksmith side of things, it was Roger in Denver at a convention class that taught me how to wire a mag. So I was very pleased when he agreed to come on to the podcast, and I'm so glad to have you here, and I'm thankful. So I'll let you introduce yourself and kind of, you know, how you got into security and who you are and what you're doing now, and then we'll just get on with some questions.
Okay. Well, thanks for the opportunity. Great. I listen to your podcast whenever I get a chance. Oftentimes I'm out on the road and traveling all over the country, but I work for Osso Bloy now. I've been here for almost 10 years. 10 years in December, I'll be here, and I am a technical trainer for Osso Bloy. So I get to go out and share what I've learned over my time from the industry. So I came from being in the industry side since 1991 until December of 2013. I came to work for Osso Bloy. But I literally started at the bottom over there, and I got to, you know, come to Osso Bloy. They offered me an opportunity. I mean, I got hired over a cocktail napkin, I tell everybody. but they asked me to come and share what I know and kind of develop the program, what I want to be able to do with it and how we want to kind of go forward with it. And it's been a great 10 years doing this, and they allow me to share, you know, so that's a fun part of what I get to do.
Awesome. And so your role right now is called a what?
A technical product trainer. If the, you know, the official title is a technical product trainer. So I train on the parts and pieces of what we have out of our factory here. So I'm based out of Phoenix, Arizona, the EMS group of Osso Bloy. You're talking about HES strikes, Securitron, Maglock, switches, power supplies, Adams Rite storefront aluminum, which is such a big part of what we do today. Mm-hmm. And then you have alarm controls. Alarm controls is that company that can really create something that doesn't exist. I mean, I can tell you stories that go back into the early 1990s when we had to call up alarm controls and say, hey, this doesn't exist. We need it. Can you help us out? I mean, imagine having to develop a graphic display for 14 building complex for a fire department around 1994. I mean, Those are some of the different fun stories of what alarm controls can create, and we can still do that today. And then, of course, life safety power is manufactured out of here as well. So I get to share what I know and what I've learned over time.
That's awesome. And so you travel quite a bit with your classes and your training.
I do. I get to, I mean, literally from East Coast to West Coast, I get to travel and share what I know. I literally, from 1 week, I'll go from being in Boston. I was up at Yankee a couple of weeks ago. So I did Boston, Portland, Maine, Springfield, Mass. In a week. And then literally I got done on Saturday. I flew home on Saturday from Yankee. And by Monday I was in San Diego. So literally going from coast to coast, but I did another one where I literally did almost the same trip. I was up on the East Coast, up in New England area again, came home to Phoenix on a Friday. On a Saturday, my wife just, you know, she said, hey, let's take a long weekend, 'cause I had to be in Seattle the next week. So I literally came home Friday. Saturday morning, we took off for Seattle, went up to Cape Flattery, which is the furthest northwest point in the United States. And then I spent Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday doing training up in Seattle up there. And I mean, I am literally back and forth. And I literally finished my last public training last night and then flew back home to Phoenix this morning. So, or last night I flew back, and then I'm here in the office today. So I'm all over the country.
Yeah, you are all over. So do they schedule that out like a year in advance, or what kind of classes, what do those look like for you?
For me, I do all my own scheduling. I get the opportunity. They contact me, they reach out to me and kind of look at where, you know, what kind of training are they looking for. And oftentimes for me, one of the biggest question is who's the audience. You know, I might do a class sometimes. I've got one more class coming up, but it's a private class. And the private classes are oftentimes for the biggest integrators. You know, we talk about some of the big guys and we talk about everybody else. I always kind of say I've got a pyramid of customers. you know, my base is my locksmith group down there. And then I kind of work my way up to the top, which is where you're going to find some of the bigger guys up there, Allied, Convergent, DH Pace. Mm-hmm. The big guys are sitting up there at the top, and I'll do private classes for them. But they come to me and they have to, you know, kind of like, when can I get a date? When can I get a time? And I kind of look at how many days do you want? So if someone says, I want 2 days in Minneapolis. So I'll go to 2 days in Minneapolis and work with this group. And then I may pick up one or two other groups while I'm in that area. So I'm literally booking out right now 5 to 6 months in advance. You know, my biggest customers oftentimes are my distributors. And my distributors are coming to me. It's like, I have, IML is my biggest distributor that I work with and do more training with them. But Wesco is very quickly picking up for me, where they're booking me out for the entire 2024 already. So I have, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18 dates already lined up for them in 2024. And then everybody else kind of fits in between.
Right.
You know, so I might give, you know, give them 2 days here, and then I'll pick up one or two other ones in the area. I'll pick up some private ones or whatever else we're going to do. But everything comes through me. I do my own schedule. I have a partner who covers the other part, other parts of the country that I don't. He does the same thing. That way we control our own schedule. Someone else trying to do something for us and not understanding what do we need to know. To me, you know, someone comes up and says, hey, I want you to teach, because we have multi-level classes. I teach from the very basic class, you know, the basic level one, level two, level three, level four is, hey, I want this class. This is what I need to do. Or this is what I want my guys to learn. And I go, okay, let me sit down and ask you some questions and let's figure out, well, what do your guys know already? You know, because if they can't answer my simple basic questions, I say, okay, let's take them back to basics and help them understand the fundamentals. And then we'll go forward to the next level and the next level and help them grow. But if they don't understand the fundamentals, they're going to struggle with what we do in our industry. So the fun part is they have to come through me, and I can really filter and understand what do you want? You know, where are your guys at? What do they know? What do they understand? How can we help them grow the best?
Yeah. That's a cool job, man. Do you enjoy it?
I let's put it this way. I love my day job. I mean, being able to help and share, and a lot of that comes from my history, where I came from and the guy who was my mentor.
Yeah.
So imagine coming into the industry in 1991. And one of the first people I met was a gentleman by the name of Chuck Brown.
Okay.
He was a nice at four. I think he ended up with two or if not three, and I said four by the time he finally retired.
Wow.
But he was my mentor literally for 21 years. And one of the things that he always said was, I'm going to share with you. I hope that at some point you find that you enjoy sharing with others. And to me, that was always something that I always, you know, really enjoyed. And this goes all the way back into my military days as well.
Yeah. I wanted to get into that. So continue. Well, yeah.
And that's where it kind of really started at was my time in the military. So imagine this. I was in the Army first and I went in to kind of change my jobs, and I went back into the recruiter, and the Army recruiter was gone, but the Air Force recruiter was there. The Air Force recruiter was a beautiful woman, and she convinced me to go from the Army to the Air Force. So I went to the Air Force and I did that. I got off active duty in 1991, went into my whole goal at the time. I went into law enforcement in the Air Force. I wanted to be a police officer when I got out. I have a degree in criminal justice, but when I got out, I grew up on a farm in North Dakota. And in North Dakota, you have farming, the equipment and everything. You had weapons shooting in the military. I was law enforcement. I fired 5, 6 different types of weapons I had to qualify on. And in that time, my hearing went bad. So all my high-pitched hearing was gone. And I couldn't hear, so I couldn't be a police officer. Mm. I literally landed in the security industry at the very bottom. And I had to work my way up. And here I met this gentleman who literally took me under his wing and said, let me help you out. Let me teach you and help you understand how to do all this stuff. And he said, share and give back. Well, at that time, when I got off active duty in the military, I went directly into the Air Force Reserves, the active Air Force Reserves. And because of my background and what I had done, I went into the training department of the reserve unit, and there I was training the military, you know, people in the military career field of law enforcement. I was training them on the military side of law enforcement. I couldn't do it on the civilian side, but on the military side, I was still good. So I started training there. And, you know, for me, I was responsible for until 2002 when I retired at 22 years from the active duty reserves. I ran the training department in the reserve unit. So my job was to do all their scheduling for all the training that had to be done every month of training. Mm-hmm. You know, so I really got a good feel how to do that. And then as my time progressed in the on the industry side of it, you know, I started at the bottom and worked my way up. I started on the working with the technicians, understanding how to do it. I help with scheduling, coordinating, work in the field whenever I can, but learning and understanding the technical side of it. And from there, I moved into customer service. And at some point, I guess I learned enough that the president of my company said, hey, I want you to take over and handle my biggest customers, his friends, more in case. And at that time, we were dealing with false alarms. So go back. I don't know. Were you even around in 1990 playing in this world?
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
I was,
but in 1990, we were dealing with false alarms.
Yeah.
You know, false alarms are all, I mean, and the cities were going after everybody for false alarms. So I went over and I started taking care of all the false alarms. And oftentimes, you know, you're dealing with equipment that may have been installed in the 70s, 80s, and even in the early 90s that weren't done right, created a lot of false alarms. And what I was able to do is, by working with the customers, I actually outsold all of his salesmen. So, yeah. And I always tell her, it's all about relationships and creating that relationship with the customer. No matter what you do, if you don't find a common bond with them, you know, you're always going to kind of struggle. But when you can find something common with everybody out there, and I take part of that goes back to my North Dakota upbringing. You know, we're, you know, you met everybody, you said hello to everybody, you waved to everybody, you know, it's just you're acknowledging people. And that always was kind of the fun thing I got to do. But I started to upsell the salesmen. So they forced me over into sales. Now, I didn't particularly care for the sales side, but I guess I remembered something my grandfather told me years ago. And he said, the best salesman is a better educator. Mm. Why do you do something? Helping people understand the why and what's the difference of it. And that's why I was really successful in what I did on the sales side of it is I was never cheap. We were never on the cheap side of selling anything security because I grew up in, you know, for a company, I always worked for companies that were true integrators, fire, security, access control, you name it, we did it all. You know, so I really wanted to learn and understand all the facets of it. But as I did that and grow, I became more confident. I think the thing was, is I always kept in the back of my mind is the best salesperson is a better educator. Helping them understand why is something different. And that what always kind of helped me. And then as I kind of did that, then I started training my own salespeople, you know, getting them to understand how to do things, how to put things together. And I mean, they have to understand the basics without getting too technical about it, but then help the customer understand why it's just different. Why are we different? Why are we more expensive? And getting them to be successful. And from there, I kind of, once I did that, then I was kind of moved in. And I, you know, when I worked for the last company I worked for, Sun Devil Fire and Security in Arizona, I went in and we had a gentleman come in who became the vice president of operations, and he was a military guy too. And when he found out what my background was, he says, hey, I want you to take and develop a training program for 180 techs on the road.
Wow.
So you're talking about 100 technicians that were running sprinkler systems, and the rest of them were extremely technical from level one, level two, level three, NICET, you know, because we did fire and everybody had to do everything. We were very much on the heavy side, on the fire side, but by developing that training program, you know, to me, that helped me kind of become a little bit more organized in what I do for, you know, for what I even do today, because we followed the military format for training when we developed that program for all those techs, you know, so because I had to understand, you know, all the code books that go with sprinklers, fire alarm systems, fire extinguishers, and then of course, access control and security on top of it, you know, but to me, I always love sharing back. And I love my day job, but obviously it's not always as glamorous as everyone wants it to be. You know, we have all the logistics and everything else that go with it. But yeah, that's kind of where I really got started. And with, you know, from this gentleman, Chuck Brown, who said, give back and share, because there's very few people that want to share today. I know that coming from the industry side is that I grew up in a time where the old guys did not want to share with the young guys because they were afraid of losing value. They were afraid they were going to, you know, feel not as important to the company, and they didn't want to give away their knowledge to anybody else, so they didn't share it. And I still see that today. I still see so much of that today, and that's the tough part.
Yeah. I mean, your entire story is just kind of like there's like a strain all the way through it with education and with training and with that giving back. And so I do want to touch on that in a second about the older guys kind of guarding the information as the generations have changed. But can you elaborate a little bit? You touched on when you were building that training program for the techs that were on the road, you were using military type methods. So just with everything that you had learned from your experience, what are sort of some of the methods that you used to create that, but that you also use today when you're giving trainings and education?
I think one of the easiest things for me on when I developed the training program is by starting with fire, and fire is still regulated. There are so many different processes and steps you need to go through. So really understanding the basics. This is what I need. This is the skill I need you to learn and understand. You know, what are the primary skills I need you to learn and understand? You know, think about a multimeter. You know, our most important tool we have in the field today is a multimeter, and understanding, you know, how do I use it completely? That is a critical point. And that's where I think when we look at all the classes that we teach, the basic fundamental class is number one in providing that information to it. Just give you a little snippet. I was doing a class recently up in Oklahoma, and all of a sudden a DSS or a representative from another manufacturer came to our class. I go, "Hi, how are you doing?" I knew who he was. I go, "What are you doing here?" So, "Well, I sent a bunch of my customers in there too, because you teach the best class, you know, but I want to understand, this is what you need to know." So one of the things we were able to do with Sun Devil Fire and Security was we needed bodies. We needed people to work, but we need to figure out somebody that we can train and give them a skill set to do that. And what we did is we took the military format of style and says, okay, I started them out with very basic. I started with a fire extinguisher. That was number one. That was the simplest thing I could teach them how to do. And with a fire extinguisher, I had 29 documented items I need you to do with every fire inspection. So we started out with that. These are the 29 things you need to know and understand. Now you need to be able to know and understand and then apply it to a real world application. So we were able to do that. And, you know, we did this. We created that program for them. And like I said, we had to find somebody that we could, you know, we thought was going to be good and could work. Not necessarily somebody who had a background in it. Because some of those people that have backgrounds in them sometimes have a lot of garbage and a lot of stuff they've learned, and you try to unlearn it, it doesn't work so well. So we started a veterans program where we were able to take some of the veterans who had zero experience, and we built them from ground one. Just like imagine a recruit going into off of a farm in little old Michigan, North Dakota, going into the military, and you teach them one skill at a time, and then the next skill and the next skill, and you have a process. And we did that with, we started out with fire extinguishers, and then we went into sprinkler systems, and then we went into fire alarm systems, building all those little skills one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. And the thing that was amazing to me, and I've never seen anything that's worked since then, and that company, the Sun Devil Fire, was purchased by Cintas years ago.
Okay.
But imagine a training room that's 40 feet wide and about 100 feet deep. I mean, you're talking about a training room that, I mean, it had everything in it you wanted to know: sprinklers, fire alarm systems, kitchen hood systems, security access control camera, all the way around the whole room. And that was our training room. I mean, it is a phenomenal.
That sounds like heaven.
Yeah. And Cintas now has it, and they still use it to this day. The first year we had it open, I had a bunch of the fire marshal and fire. I've been a member of the Fire Marshals Association for years. Obviously, being heavy into fire, that made a difference. But we were able then to get the Arizona Fire School to come into that building and do training in there. So they brought in, like, they'd have a fire week, and they bring in fire marshals and, you know, all the kinds of people in for training. They come into that in that training room that we had built to do their training. And that was fun to be able to see that, to be able to share the steps in the process where we could show them, this is what we teach the people how to do.
Yeah.
And they appreciated that, is to give them the skill sets. And that's one of the things I try and do today. Today, obviously, my focus is more on the access control side of the world, but to give these guys the skill sets that will make them, you know, better at what they do. I always tell them, the amount of money you're capable of earning oftentimes is based on your desire to do the job and the work, but to have the right skill sets that will help you make more money.
100%. Yeah. We, I, I really try with the guys that I kind of run in circles with through the Tech Knowledge Worldwide non-for-profit. They got a Slack channel. There's a ton of guys in there that do access security, and it is all over the board technology-wise. But I try when I interact and when I build this podcast to make sure that it is encouraging the technicians today that are in the field, that if they do invest the time, it will pay back. Like I've seen that in my own career, 100%. That when I put that time in, I mean, when I took that class with you, even from the very beginning, it pays you back over time. It really does. And
not just you, but the owner of the company, everybody gets paid back. Everybody, you know, and when during COVID, I created 26 1-hour blocks of training that were designed to help everybody across. So everything I touch, you know, from the technical side to the sales side, code side, we created all these blocks of training. So if you're a salesperson coming into the industry, what do you need to know and understand? Mm. You know, so it's designed to help them. And codes, as I always talk about codes in my classes, who needs to know the codes? And, you know, for a lot of times, my estimator needs to know what my, you know, a couple other people need to know. And I go, well, think about it this way. If your salesperson goes out there and misses something during doing a site survey with a customer, you know, they don't understand the codes and how things are put together. And all that information the salesperson gathers, and he only gathered half of what you need. He comes in and he brings that information into your estimator and your engineer, and they don't understand the codes and how they apply to what you're going to do. You know, and they go out and put out a proposal and they accept the proposal. Well, now you've got the technician out there who is really the final stop. And I always tell the technicians, you're the final stop to something being wrong in the field. Did the salesperson do their job right? What if the salesperson, you know, I go out to an empty building, I show an example of a big empty building, and I want you to go out and access control this building. So I take a sales guy out there, a big empty building. I've got I've got 8 perimeter doors, and on the perimeter doors, the building is 40 years old. So I'm dealing with knobs and lever sets more than likely. Okay. And I want to access control this building. So he looks at the knobs and lever sets, the sales guy does, and he says, okay, I'm going to put a strike on that one, a strike on this one. He'll put an electric strike to work with the knobs and lever sets. Well, 3 months later, it goes through the bid process. They send out the bid and they sign the contract, and all of a sudden it comes to the technician. The technician walks out to the job site with all their equipment ready to go to work. Well, what does the technician have to do before they do anything else? They have to do a site survey. They have to make sure that everything that came in from the sales, everything that went through engineering, the narrative of the job, the narrative for every door, every opening, everything matches up. But now all of a sudden you're walking into a building that's kind of built out now. And I walk into this great big building that's got 400 cubicles in there. Is there a problem here? I mean, we have a little bit of a problem here because, you know, they are the final catcher going to say, ooh, we got a problem here. I got 400 people in this building and I'm putting a strike on a knob or a lever set on that perimeter door.
Yeah.
We've got a problem here. Who's your final catch to something being wrong in the field? Your technician. And that's why when I can get, you know, every once in a while I'll get, you know, some of the private owners who'll sit down with me and talk to me, and I kind of talk to them about that whole cycle. And one of the things that is I always stress team, the entire team. From the beginning, the sales are usually your beginning out there. The sales are going out, meeting the customer, understanding what they want to do, doing the site surveys. But does that salesperson know everything he needs to know to do a proper site survey? Understanding the codes in the back of their head are running around the whole time. You know, you've got on average maybe 2 to 3 minutes to look at any door of the customer, understand what they want to do with it, do your site survey with it. But if someone doesn't teach them how to do that, you know, so I have classes that are designed for site surveys. And what do you need to know? What do you need to understand when you're selecting hardware that goes on an opening? You know, so I kind of mix that in a lot with codes right now. So I teach my codes class. It's site surveys, hardware selection, and codes. How do they all play together? What do we need to know? And that starts at sales. It goes through estimating design. It goes through your PMs. It goes through your technicians at the end, because your technician is your final catch. And I tell them, you guys have to understand, you are valuable. You guys are the final catch to something going wrong in the field. And to me, the responsibility to advocate for that should be like your superintendents, your PMs, Your ownership should be like, I want the best people I have working out there for me, but you've got to provide education. You've got to be able to provide the training that helps and goes with it. You know, creating the 1 hour training blocks, you can go watch those anytime you want. You know, I mean, if you invest in it and you go watch it, and I tell this to my classes, there's 26 1 hour blocks out there that will help you. I was sitting in class. I did a class this week up in Salt Lake City. And I'm trying to remember what it was I said. And I said, learn how to zero out your meter. Hmm. It's like, why do you have alligator clips? Good alligator clips, not Harbor Freight alligator clips, but good alligator clips. And I go, It's like, no one knew the simple little trick of taking an alligator clip, attach it to the black probe and then attach it to a negative, and that frees up one hand. It's like, none of them had ever been taught that. Hmm. You know, just simple little tips and tricks. I said, if I tell you something, it's something that will help you. I really honestly want to give you information that makes sense.
That's really good to hear, because I feel like that's not championed very often in our industry, how important that technician is, how they are the last catch. They are the most valuable to the company, and oftentimes they can get overlooked and the education isn't provided to them because we just need them to put it in, right? Like, and so
exactly.
But from that, I am curious, because with how much training and classes you go through, I'm really interested in what it's looking like right now from maybe like a demographic standpoint. Like, is it young? Is it old? Is it a lot of people? Is it a little people? What is it looking like right now for the training of hardware in your industry, in your
everything in between
world? Yeah,
it is literally everything in between. I did a class up in Minneapolis a couple of months back, and I introduced myself, and then I have everyone introduce who they are. Mm-hmm. And in that class in Minneapolis, I had a guy who was the week prior a chef. I mean, he was a chef. I mean, he was a cook.
Okay. I had a guy.
I'm serious. Car salesman. I mean, I think I had like 17 or 18 people in the class, and I had one of the biggest things we're seeing today. And we did we do a quick site survey. So when they sign in, so they sign in my class to tell me who they are, what they do, and kind of, you know, how long you've been in the industry. I started going back to work probably March of 2021, where we started getting back out on the road and start doing classes. Since that time, over 70% of our attendees are from outside the industry coming in, and they'd had less than 2 or 3 years experience at that time, which means they'd never had any kind of training at all. I was the first one that they're sitting in front of and have that class. Mm-hmm. And as for the age, I get lucky every once in a while. I have somebody older than me. The hard part is that as I get older, I mean, it's like I had a guy in class, and I would have sworn he was older than me. He looked older than me, but no, he's 5 years younger than me. But I think that, you know, I don't know, just working in the industry, depending on where you come from, it's hard to tell, but I have a huge group. I literally have had kids that look like they're still in high school. And I had one, a little kid, I graduated last week from high school, but he knew this was somebody he knew. He got it, you know, he knew from their family, and he got a job coming right out of high school, and here was his job. But I mean, the full gamut from age, it doesn't matter. People are looking for a job. This is a fairly good industry to be in. And I think one of the biggest things they all agree with me on is I think that when you're out there doing your job, you like the independence of it. And they are saying, go do your job and people will leave you alone. But you're out there just doing your job, you know, and kind of, you know, obviously there are other things you got to watch for, timing and everything that needs to be done, but they love the independence of it. And it doesn't matter how old they are.
I'm also curious too, when you're training, how do I want to say this, but has it been, when you have that big of range of people and life experience and almost different cultures growing up in, even if they grew up in the same state, you know, do you see a difference in the way that they need to learn? Yes. Or And you kind of have to cater that on the fly, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and we really do. And as I go across the country, I go from, you know, where I'm working in California, I may have a very Hispanic group set there versus going over into the East Coast. I might deal with more of the European individuals coming. And we have definitely have some languages issues that I have to pay attention to and really slow down. And I think one of the things I kind of go back to the way I learn. I just kind of tell people I'm a rock. I learn, you know, I'm about your slowest learner you're ever going to have. I mean, because you got to show it to me. I need to do it over and over and over again. Repetition, repetition, repetition. And I think with the group that I worked with from both my time in the military and my time on the industry side is I worked with people that had different learning skills, different learning capacities for how quickly they could gather it up. Some are just going to fly and soar. The majority are not going to fly and soar. So you need to kind of figure out, you need to be able to watch and understand what's happening with the group. Mm-hmm. This past week, I had a slower group. They were fairly new, brand new to the industry. And I knew that I've got a 4-hour block for basic and I got a 4-hour block for level two. I knew by the time I got through about midway through that first block that I can't push through this whole thing. There's no way if I try and push through just to get through, I was going to end up losing a part of them. So I've gotten pretty good at recognizing that, okay, the majority of my group is struggling in here. So it allows me to slow down and I can very quickly adapt and make a, you know, do different exercises, do it a little bit different, explain it to them a little bit different. And try and get that to click. And the fun part to me is when someone just kind of, it's like just in the middle of class, so just kind of yells out, I got it. It's like they finally figured it out. It clicked. That is fun to me because it's just like, okay, I said something right that for this person here, they're so excited about, they just, you know, burst out. So think, I figured it out. I got it now. It makes sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, but I really have to pay attention and I do have that capacity to slow down. And I'm usually going to explain it to them. Says, hey, I'd rather slow down, take my time and work our way through this. I want you to understand this part of it. Okay. Not necessarily about getting through the 8 hours. If I get through the 8 hours and push through the 8 hours and you just kind of walk away because I took you too big, too fast and you're just scatterbrained about it, it doesn't help anybody. So I'd rather slow down, take my time. And it worked out. And the good part was is I had a day two and almost the identical group, which is really, really nice. I think the challenging part is I know how important money is. Everyone needs to make money. But when you pull a technician off the road, and this goes way back. I mean, go back to the time, you know, when I was, you know, back on the industry side of it where a manufacturer would come in and it's not a training class, it's a sales class.
Yes.
And that's the hard part about it. And I tell people, I am not coming in here to sell you something. I'm here to help you understand how to put this stuff together. A maglock, a strikes, you know, they're all basically the same. Understanding applications and solutions are very much the same. Understanding how to put it together, the different parts and different pieces. That is what builds that sense of confidence about it. And if you help them do that, obviously we're going to get loyalty that comes with it. Mm-hmm. You know, but to me, I learned that, you know, I remember sitting back, go back to the old Ademco days, Ademco security systems. And the guy came in to do a class and we're all sitting there. All the technicians are sitting in there. And more than half the class was sales about, you know, benefits and the features and everything about it. And it's like, never going to do that. You know, I want to help you understand how to put this stuff together. You're on the technical side of this. Yes, you need to know a little bit of it, but I need to know a lot of the technical side of it and how to do it. So, to me, I need to be able to recognize what they're doing, what they're receiving. Does it make sense to them? And I can, you know, I can really tell when I'm getting somebody that gets that kind of glazy look on them. It's like, I need to slow down. Sometimes I can pay a little bit more attention to them and get them to work their way through it, little steps at a time. But I also have to keep in mind, I got the whole class out there waiting for me too.
Yeah, definitely. And that is so... that feels pretty real because when I started out in my career also, I went on my own for just a little bit. And so I was kind of scattering to figure out where I could get information or where I could learn about things. And I would often go to distributors as they held a Thursday morning, you know, class or something like that. And oftentimes it was just selling the product. Yep. So I actually got more out of those moments from asking a question and somebody sitting in the class who was more experienced than I turning around and going, well, actually you would do this, you know? So that was, that was more beneficial than the sales itself. But I can attest that, you know, the classes that you put on and that Asa Abloy puts out, definitely are there for the skill, because you're right. You're going to use a Hess strike, you know, or you're going to use an alarm controls mag just because of how quality the product is. Mm-hmm. But knowing how to do it correctly, safely, and building that skill is really important. I am curious also in your training, because you've been, you know, putting together trainings and putting together courses for quite a while. How do you feel technology for you as the individual putting on the training has been incorporated or changed your training over time? Or is it pretty standard from when you were doing it, you know, 10, 15 years ago?
To me, honestly, in the field side of it, to me, I separate. I've got hardware. I've got actuators. I have hard, you know, we're talking about access control side of this, hardware and I've got hardwares and actuators. And I tell the class, I don't, you know, the hardware, I need to identify two things. One, is it fail safe or fail secure? As soon as I start identifying that, I know what type of circuit I'm going to develop. Okay, what's my primary circuit going to be? You know, wiring in series, wiring in parallel, normally open, normally closed, the basics of the basics. The actuator on the front of it doesn't matter. What matters is the switch sitting behind it. Mm-hmm. Has that changed? No. It has not changed. You know, I want to keep it as simple as we can. I don't care whether you give me a motion detector, you give me a card reader, a wireless transmitter, whatever it is. It's all about working with the switch which sits behind it. You know, so the guys who are technical out there in the field, what do they need to know? They need to understand, you know, the fundamentals of, you know, voltage, ohms, amps, how to measure and all the testing and everything. That's where the foundation of it comes in. After we understand the foundation of the terms that we talk about, voltage, amperage, you know, understand those, and then you start building on that and understanding, you know, circuit development. You know, so when I started my classes, I know if you took a look at my class today versus what we did 8-9 years ago, you're going to say, wow, this is, you know, what we've done with this class has grown so much. And to me, I've been very thankful because we have a young lady who works here now named Katie Corbin, and she has a master's degree in education development. Mm-hmm. And she made me really think about how do we present this? How do we create this training program and update all of our workbooks and everything that needs to be done? And it's like, not only am I thinking about the process of how to do this and how to teach them as things do change. I mean, the device, like I said, what the front of that darn thing looks like, it changes all the time. But the backside of it, it really doesn't. I mean, think about it, over 90% of what we do today is still hardwired. I really don't care what the front looks like. I need to know what is supposed to happen with the switch behind it. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to be able to identify the type of switch it is when I'm sitting there. The other thing I've learned from my class, and I always ask this, how many of you go out in the field to install a circuit on a door? How many of you get a wiring diagram with it? And maybe 1 or 2 out of 10 say, I get a wiring diagram. Great. But for those other 8 who don't get a wiring diagram, so one of the big things that's been my push now, and this is really going forward, you know, we started working on this back in probably mid-year, is to really incorporate more circuit diagrams as we go. So before, if you remember, right, we literally kind of follow through a workbook and you just kind of watch and see, and you put it together and made it work. Now you're drawing it. You're kind of laying out your parts and your pieces. I've got power here. I've got, you know, I've got switch 1, switch 2, switch 3. I've got a motion detector. I've got a card reader on the outside of the door. I've got my hardware. Now you're boxing it out and you're drawing it and then you're putting it together. But the basics have not changed.
Yeah.
The basics haven't changed. You know, and the thing is, we're not allowed to teach them. We can't get into those main control panels. They don't want us to do that because they don't want us to interfere with all of our partnerships that we have with all the different manufacturers. So I deal with that focus of what's happening, you know, getting it out to the door and making it work.
So. Right.
And what so, we change, we don't change.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel that it's, so yeah. Okay. You're teaching a very specific, like kind of white labeled, the fundamentals, the functionality of the access control system. And in teaching that, do you get a hint, or do you feel like that is well known across our industry, or do you think that it's still, it's not? Yeah.
Because there are too many new people coming into the industry. Over 70%, we know over 70% come in with no experience. Mm-hmm. You know, so teaching them the basics. And even those guys, I've had guys literally come in, so I've been doing this for 15 years. And I can ask questions, and it's like, they don't know the answer. You know, have you ever been to any kind of formal training before? Yes or no? You know, that's one of the big questions. It's, I'll figure out how to make something work in time, right?
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, in time we'll figure out, but how and the why, I want that to be a much sooner figure that out than later figure it out. Because yeah. As we do it sooner and sooner, we'll figure it out a little bit. You know, it gets us more efficient at what we do when we break things down.
Do you feel that this piece of the access control that you're kind of focused on teaching now is going to evolve, or maybe even go away, like decades into the future?
Nope. Yeah. I really do not. You know, and keep in mind, is one of the things I always tell people is that when you're learning the fundamentals of what we do down here, does this apply to security? Basic security systems for your house, does it apply to it? Yes. Does it apply to access control? Yes. Does it apply to big commercial security? Yes. Does it apply to fire? Yes. Because my whole goal is to teach them, learn how to do this, get better and better and better as you go, and then eventually make the jump to fire. Because when you go to fire, that's when you make your money. Are the switches the same in fire as they are in security and access control? Yes. So if you take these fundamentals and you learn it, you're going to be able to do that whole scope of it. As for whether it's going to change or not, I do not see wireless maybe becoming more than 15 to 20% of the market. Wireless is always going to play a part and a role out there. But for the most part, what is the most reliable piece of access control we do? Something that is hardwired. If we do it right, it's going to last. It's going to last. I don't have to worry about batteries. I don't have to worry about anything else. So hardware, what I do is never going to, I don't see it going, you know, the thought of me doing only 30% of this in 10 years from now, I'm not even worried about it.
Yeah.
Because hardwire will always be king. It's most reliable long-term. Yes. As we get fancier things like that, yeah, hardware or wireless is going to come along. Maybe right now it's 10%. Maybe it'll be 15 to 20% in the future. But that 80% is still out there. It's kind of like, you know, who do I want to train? You know, we think about, we've got those big monster companies up there at the top of the pyramid, but they're what, 7, 8% of the market? What about that base of that pyramid sitting down here? That's 70% of my market. Those are the guys who really need to learn and understand what we're doing. And when they learn and understand on certain parts and pieces, what does that build? It builds loyalty to your parts and pieces too.
For sure.
It's not going to go away.
And a safer world. Those are the people who need to know it, you know?
Right.
Those people on the base. And I feel that's always been a passion of mine as well, is because I think that the integrators out there that are just the guy in the van or the guy with 12 employees, like those are the people who need to know the strongest amount of information. It's almost as if, you know, how the technician is the last catch for the company. Yep. It's like those guys are the last catch for our industry as a whole.
And I agree. And when you go into certain markets, I mean, you're going to have those big monster companies sitting up there, but you're often going to ask who is the best company in any given market. You know, I've been here in the Phoenix market, so I'm very, you know, somewhat biased in what I know and understand. But when I start looking at different companies, you know, do we have DH Pace here? Yes. Do we have all these big monster companies up there? But are they considered the best by the people who live in that area and work in that area? And these companies have built their reputation with these different companies in time. Those are your better companies that don't get that big profile name. And the big thing is, as I remember the old term of hunting white elephants. You know, it's always nice to get a white elephant, but if I get 10 smaller jobs, is that equal to that white elephant? Yes. Are they half the headache of that white elephant? Yes. You know,
yeah.
So you kind of figure out where do you want to kind of play? And most of those other guys are kind of playing that medium to, you know, that kind of that medium range in there, which is perfectly fine. They're happy. Learn to live within your limitations as an organization. So you've got to be able to, you know, figure out who you are.
Yeah.
You know, and the biggest thing to me is you've got to be able to objectively assess your people, understand what they're capable of, their skill sets are, so you don't go overboard somewhere.
So I know that there are quite a few of the listeners that listen to this podcast are integrators, and they're usually more than likely in that base. And so what are ways that they could get a hold of the education that you're putting out?
All you gotta do is reach out to me. You know, that's the biggest thing is that, are you familiar with PSA Tech or PSA Group out of Denver?
Yeah. So I worked for, have you heard of TSI?
I have. Yep.
Yeah. So I worked for TSI for a little over a year, and they gave me PSA training, and it was great.
Yep. So I came from a company that was a part of PSA. And I remember going up to Denver by the old Stapleton Airport before they changed out to that great big, you know, to the Denver International. But the old airport used to be out by Stapleton, and going there back in the 90s for training classes, you know. And, I with them with a couple of different companies. And now most of the people that work for PSA know that if they want to, they can come directly to me and I can set up that private training with them. I've got a couple of the groups from Pennsylvania I work with. They'll call me up every year or so and say, hey, can you come out? I've got 10, 15 new techs that need training. And I'll go in there and give them that private training. You know, I'll do some of the others with, you know, Convergent Technologies are big ones, DH Pays, Protection Systems, places like that. They can reach out to me directly and I can come out and do classes. They have to meet certain parameters. If not, they'll go into like our group trainings that we have with other people.
And then you also do show trainings, right? At trade shows, like IML? Well,
I do. Well, so I'll go in, it's like groups that have those bigger trade shows. They'll have 2 or 3 days of training in front of it. I'll go and do the in-person training. I usually do not stay for the show. And the big reason is that I want to get home for at least a day or two before I have to go somewhere else again.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't stay for the show itself. The only thing I do with shows now is ISC West. At ISC West, I've done the Security Industry Association, SIA. I've done their Security Project Manager program in ISC West for the last 8 years. I guess they like what I do, so they keep inviting me back, and they fill it up every year. So, but I also do that project management side of it as well. I've done a lot of different things and a lot of different experiences, you know, and I guess, you know, coming from the real world side of it, I get to share that. That's a fun part. And I still have some of the PMs that have been in my classes in the past come back and ask questions once in a while, and I get to share.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, we kind of got through those questions, and that's all just excellent information. I really am invested and interested in the training side of our industry, because I feel that it often comes down to the owner not knowing if they want to foot the bill to get it, because they can't see the immediate recurring revenue that's going to come from their guys knowing it. And I feel that that is maybe a blind spot, but the industry needs it. The industry needs that training.
I had a gentleman, I understand it. You take a technician out of the field, you might be losing anywhere from $750 to $2,000 in a day. And I kind of gauge out on where I had my lower technicians are going to bring in $600-$800 a day, but my senior technicians are bringing in $2,000 a day. To pull them off the road, they have to understand is that I'm investing in them. And I understand that. I said, I come from your side of it. I sent my technicians to classes, and I understand. When I send them, I'm pulling them out of the field, costing me money, but I'm investing in them. And that technician needs to know and understand. Your company, one, is investing in you. Your company has an expectation of me to give you something that'll make you better at what you do in the field. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing about it. And I take that to heart every single time I go teach a class. That owner is losing money to have these people sit inside here. He expects me to give them a knowledge of value that will help them help make him more money in the long term. You know, and oftentimes, you know, when I go and if I get to go do a private class, I usually have a 2-day class for a private. Day one to day one and a half is with the technicians. The second half of that day or the second day is with salespeople, design, engineering, management. Because I can guarantee you, I can help you out. Because I've seen it from the bottom up. I was part of a team that helped take a company from $7.5 million to $25 million in 8 years. Mm-hmm. But it's a team, and we've all got to have those processes in place from what the salespeople do to what the technicians do, and it takes training to get there.
Yep. 100%. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I think that's it, man. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, and I really appreciate you being here. I always want my people to be able to find the people that I get onto the podcast. So where can people find you if they have questions or if they want to find out where group trainings are or schedule trainings?
Yep. Obviously I'm on LinkedIn. So you can go find me on LinkedIn if you want to see me there. I'm very responsive. One of the things that people always know about me is that I do respond. I think that's one of the reasons that helped me be successful in my career all the time is that I would go, here's my cell phone number. If you need me, call me. And one of the things my wife said, if I want you to have a quiet vacation, we got to go out of the country. So we went out of the country. But my biggest customers always knew I was out of the country, and I would give them, here, this is the guy you call if you have a problem. And I had a really good friend who worked with me, and his name was Chris Grove. And I knew that if someone called him at 2 a.m. in the morning, he was going to pick up the phone. Mm. You know, but I tell people, reach out to me on my telephone. Send me a text message first, 480-815-8242. Let me know who you are, where you're at. Let me know where you're at. And the reason is because I might be on the East Coast or the West Coast. If I'm on the East Coast and you're on the West Coast, I can call you at the end of the day because you're still 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
But if I'm on the West Coast and you're on the East Coast, well, I'm going to send you a text message back that says, hey, I'll call you back first thing tomorrow morning. And people know I follow up on my cell phone. When I get down to the class at the end of the day, the first thing I check is all my cell phone messages, all my text messages, and I respond to them. That's right then. Emails oftentimes may have to wait to the end of the day. My email is Roger, RODGER.Schmidt, SCHMIDT, at AustinBloyd.com. Send me text messages, you know, email me, whatever works best for you. But people know that I do follow up. Like I said, I love being able to feel that outside of the training side once in a while too, though. Like I got historical pictures of it, of a church today. And it's like, oh, what are we going to do with this one? That's the fun. To me, I still love that, being able to figure out how do we create a solution for them. But yeah, reach out to me if you have questions. As for training, if you go to any of our HES Innovations, Securitron, Alarm Controls, Life Safety Power, the top border up there, training. Click on training, and it's going to show you the virtual training we have, and it'll show you in-person training that we have coming up. As for me, I'm done outside training for the year. We're going to work on updating our classes for next year. We're going to be working on updating some of our videos that we've done. We've got some updates to do on all the codes. The codes are getting updated for fire-rated assemblies, IBC codes for electronic locking hardware codes. So we've got a lot of new stuff we're going to be working on the next couple of months. Once we get it done, we're going to get it posted up there. So you got all the free education you can watch online. You can also go to AustinBloyd Academy as well for their training that they have. And they have like 100 and some blocks there. But for the stuff that really focuses on access control, come to our four primary websites over here, adamswright.com. And you'll see, you know, I can tell you right now is my first 10 weeks I am on the road in 2024. The first 10 weeks are on the road. After that, my wife said, we're going on vacation. She's got spring break from school, and we're going to go on vacation. I'm probably going to go to Europe. The hard part is that my phone follows me everywhere today. But even on vacation, I still follow up. I'd rather be caught, you know, kind of keep up than just coming back and just being bombarded.
Sure, sure. And in growing, you mentioned before we started the podcast that there's a new available spot that you're hiring for.
Yep. So we just posted last week, I believe I was posting, that we will be hiring a new trainer. So the new trainer will be based out of Phoenix, Arizona. So they've got to live here. Okay. So whether you want to move here, you're from here, wherever it is, you've got to be here. And that training, I can't tell, they don't let me tell the whole story about it, but if you reach out to me, I'll help you out. But it's based out of Phoenix, and it's going to be 70-80% travel. And we're looking for someone that really, that has a good, solid electronics background, because that teaching someone electronics background is a whole different world than, you know, some of the other, you know, backgrounds that you have out there. So, but we do have an opening. It's opening. It's posted now through the first of the year.
Okay. So. Awesome. Well, there it is. Go get it. Whoever's listening. So, yeah. But hey, your availability and is a boon and an asset to this, you know, industry. And I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast and showing me how to wire a mag 10 years ago and the whole nine. So, I really appreciate it. And, we'll have to have you back sometime for more.
Well, hey, so. And I do want to, you know, thank you for the opportunity. And if anybody has questions about training, please feel free to reach out to me. I'm pretty much available pretty good, you know, at least through the next month. But if I can help out, guide in any given direction, please let me know and I'll do what I can do.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll see you later.
Okay. Thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye.